Praise God. It is time for God's word, and I know there should be a hymn and the intro of Pastor Fred. I don't need an introduction. Let's get right into the word of God. So forgive me, choir, that we're not taking the hymn tonight. I just thought in my spirit that was the time to come up. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:14 tells us that. So it's not about our lineup of events. Sometimes it's about what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And it's important that we flow with the leading of the Holy Spirit. In the days in which we live, you will need to be led by the Spirit of God. Each of us, you will need it more than ever before. The reason is because the darkness out there is getting darker, and so you can't afford to think like the rest of the world, to speak like the rest of the world, and to do things haphazardly like the rest of the world. You need to be led in your spirit by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. It is what will set you apart. The days in which we live, the whole creation is waiting for the earnest expectations. They are waiting in earnest expectations of the manifestations of the sons of God. And if you are going to manifest as a son of God, the Bible says that there is a hallmark of the sons. The hallmark of the sons is that they are led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14 in the KJV. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In the Message translation, Romans 8:14 says, God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and there are places to go. There are things to do and there are places to go. So I want to encourage you. I'll be speaking a whole lot about the Holy Spirit tonight. Let's go back to our foundation scripture, which we started last night. Were you blessed last night? Yes. Tonight, you are going to be blessed the more in the name of Jesus. Yes. Let's go to Judges. We're going to the book of Judges now. We read Judges chapter 4 last night. Tonight, we're going to Judges chapter 5. From the beginning to the end, and then I share some thoughts that the Holy Ghost has given me about four powerful thoughts I'm going to share. I thought I was going to share two, but it gave me two additional. Judges chapter 5 from verse 1. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, singing, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear. O ye princes, I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. I want you to notice something as we journey through chapter 5, that God gave them victory over Sisera in chapter 4. Do you remember that? Sisera, the chief of army staff of Jabin, the king of Canaan. Do you remember that from last night? All right, so God gave them victory in chapter 4. And then chapter 5 opened with a song. And it's typical of us that when God gives us the victory, the natural thing to do is to go ahead and sing. Is that right? Is that right? That's fine. But I want to take us to another dimension tonight. But notice that this song came after the victory. Verse 4, yeah? Still singing. This was the song of Deborah the prophetess and Barak the son of Abinoam. They said, Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, the heavens dropped. The clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael. You remember Jael? Do you remember Jael? Blessed be Jael among all women in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied. They were deserted. And the travelers walked through byways. They could not travel through the highways. They were traveling through byways. Why? The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel. Why? Because there was an oppression. Until that I, Deborah, arose. That I arose a mother in Israel.
So when you hear certain churches call some people mothers in Israel, mother in Israel, and they wear a very big cap, and it's a big title, and they feel very pompous and arrogant about it, they probably don't have an understanding of where that was coming from. It is not an office. It is not a title. She was just singing to the Lord, and she was saying, I arose a mother. I was just a mother in Israel. I was not a father. I was a mother. But you see, the fathers were afraid because the whole land of Israel was under the dominion of the enemy. The whole land was under the dominion of Jabin, the king of Canaan, who had a very wicked man like himself in the name of Sisera as the chief of army staff, who had 900 chariots of iron. So the people were subdued and they could not travel through the highways. It's like, you know, a couple of months ago, we're talking about the Abuja-Kaduna road, and people could not travel that way because bandits had taken over. In fact, there was a time it was so bad here in the Southwest. If you were traveling from Ibadan to Osun State, you had to pray in the Holy Ghost. If you were going to Ife, Ife is about 45 minutes, 1 hour, but you needed to pray about 3 hours in the Holy Ghost before you could travel. Why? Because there were bandits on the highway. There were terrorists on the highway. That was the situation of Israel at that time. The villagers ceased. People could not travel through the highways. They were taking byways, by shortcuts. Why? Because the highways were unoccupied. Because they were under the dominion of the enemy. This sometimes shows our lives. When we come under the domain and the dominion of the enemy, which is not supposed to be anyway. We move on quickly. She was singing this song in appreciation to the Lord. This is a song of gratitude. That, Lord, this is where we're coming from. In the days of Shamgar, in the days of Jael, these were the things that were happening. Until I, Deborah, arose a mother, an ordinary mother. Where were the fathers? There are times that there are absentee fathers. Blessed are the mothers who can pray. Even if you have your husband with you, as a woman, you need to learn to pray. When women pray, things happen, especially when mothers pray. That's why I always say that you don't disobey your parents. No matter who you are, there are blessings reserved in their womb for you. One of the blessings, if you read Deuteronomy 33, God gave us verse 12 two nights ago, talking about he will cover us. That was about Benjamin. If you go further down to the blessings of Joseph, one of the blessings of Joseph was the blessing of the womb and the blessing of the breast. A man does not have that. A man has tummy and chest. Only a woman, only a mother has the womb, has a womb. A womb is where you are conceived, where another life is conceived. And the Bible, by the Holy Ghost, said the blessings of the womb and the blessings of the breast, let them rest upon the head of him that was separated from his brethren. That's why none of them excelled like Joseph. I gave you that free of charge. So those of you who are keeping malice with your moms and your dads, get back in line. Can I have an amen? Everything is not ogwaye. Everything is not demons. Sometimes this is all you need. The power of the prophetic blessing. I move on quickly. Deborah is still singing. She said, the inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods because they were under the domain of Satan. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? No sword, no spear. Everybody was living in fear. My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Speak, ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way. They that are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gate. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam. You remember last night that Deborah said to Barak, up! It is time for us to upgrade. Can I have an amen? Nobody should remain the same after this Ablaze conference. There should be an upgrade in the way you think, in the way you speak, in the way you live your life, in the way you pray, in the way you consume the word of God. You consume it until it consumes you. When the word of God consumes you, it doesn't kill you. That's when you start living. You eat it, you breathe it, you think it, you speak it. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder. There is a division of the spirit and the soul, of the bone and the marrow, and is a of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And as you speak it and decree it over situations, you see dominion, because the word of God is full of dominion. This is the dominion word. That's why it can never fail. It can never fall to the ground. For God's word to fail, the whole world would have failed. And even if the whole world fails, the word of God can still not fail. It can't fail. Glory be to God. Said it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for a tittle or a jot of my word to go unfulfilled. Isaiah 55, from verse 10 to 12. My ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. But as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so is every word that proceeds out of my mouth. They will not return to me void. They will not fail to accomplish the purpose for which they are sent. It's impossible for my word to come back to me empty. No, when my word goes out, it comes back with results. And I see someone going out of this conference and coming back with results and testimonies in the name of Jesus. This much word can be going out without us having commensurate results and testimonies. Thank God for all that we've heard. Many more are coming in the name of Jesus. Then, verse 13. He made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. From tonight, you walk in dominion over the mighty in the name of Jesus. Enemies that are too strong for you, you walk in dominion over them in the name of Jesus. Out of Ephraim was there a root of them against Amalek. After thee, Benjamin, among thy people. Out of Machir came down governors, and out of Zebulun they that handled the pen of the writer. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley. For the divisions of Reuben, there were great thoughts of heart. Why abodest thou among sheepfolds to hear the bleatings of the flocks? For the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. Gilead abode beyond Jordan. And why did Dan remain in ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his breaches. Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeoparded their lives, or jeopardized their lives unto the death in the high places of the field. These were the guys that went to the battle. The children of Naphtali and Zebulun. They were the 10,000 that Barak chose to go with him as foot soldiers. The kings came and fought. Then fought the kings of Canaan in Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. When God gets into a battlefield against your enemy, everything works against them. Everything. Sisera thought he had come to battle against Israel, but he discovered that some invisible forces were fighting him. I told you last night about the ministry of angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them that shall be heirs of salvation? Do we have the heirs of salvation here tonight? Then do you know that you have angels assigned to help you? If you don't send them on errand, they won't go anywhere. Fully armed. And let me give you a hint tonight. One of the ways you release your angels is through the words of your mouth. not just empty words, the word of God. Psalm 103 verse 20 says, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Every time you add your voice to the word and you release it, angels go into action. Did you hear what I said? People who know how to deploy the ministry of angels, they don't live normal lives. They don't live normal lives. If I tell you some stories, you will find them hard to believe. I'm a student of the Bible and I'm a student of history. One of the fathers of the faith in this land, in Ibadan. I'm not even sure the man spoke English, but he was a man raw. He had raw faith. Raw faith in God. A man of prayer. He founded the church called the Blood of Jesus Apostolic Church. The anointing and the unction was so much, it got to a point, I read his story that another senior minister told me, the man stopped using a barber to cut his hair. Angels were coming to cut his hair. He stopped using a barber. The anointing on his life was so powerful, they took territories for God. Just like the likes of Apostle Ayo Babalola of CAC. There is raw power. And there's the ministry of angels. I heard a story about Prophet Obadari, it was. I think this was in Akure. He was ministering and he was sweating. So he just used his hand like this to remove his sweat. You know, just like this, just like I did. As he splashed it, there was a blind man in front. His eyes got opened. The Baba himself was blind. And God was using him that way. You will come into his room and he will tell you what you want. He will tell you who you are, blah, blah, blah. Seen through the eye of the Spirit. What we don't have in our days, we have technology, but we don't have their consecration. The filth of the social media, the distraction of this age, the desire for money above God cuts short our generation. Not that God has changed. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. That's why you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Barak and his army were fighting Sisera. Sisera came with 900 chariots of iron. You can't overcome such a man. If you shoot your arrow, what it means in our days, you can compare that to bulletproof vehicles. When you shoot at a bulletproof car, your bullet, you just wasted your bullet. It won't enter, it won't penetrate. The man designed 900 chariots of iron. Back in the day, the most lethal weapon of warfare was their arrow. So if you shoot an arrow or you try to use a sword, how do you break through a chariot of iron? Not a chariot of aluminium. Raw iron. But all of that does not matter when God shows up. Did you hear what I said? It doesn't matter how occultic your enemy is, when God shows up, he shows off. The stars in their courses were fighting Sisera. He couldn't understand that certain things were fighting him and he could not understand. May God fight for you. It is sweet, oh. It is sweet. When God is fighting. Oh my God. Hey. Let's move on quickly because I need to share these thoughts with you. Some stories were coming to my head, but maybe for some other time. Now, where did I stop? Verse 13. And he said, the Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. So it is the Lord that makes us have dominion. It is the Lord who makes us have dominion. And if you're in Christ, you already have dominion. Can I have an amen? The dominion that was lost in Adam, Christ restored it back to the church. He is the head of the church. He is the head where his body. You can't separate the head from the body. Wherever the head is, the body is there. Christ is forever in dominion, and so we are also forever in dominion. Can I have an amen? But we must know how to deploy it, and that's what I want to help you to see tonight. Out of Ephraim, was there a root of them against Amalek? After thee, Benjamin among thy people. Oh, I think I've read all of this. Okay, praise God. I'm in verse 20 now. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. The river of Kishon swept them away. Do you remember the river Kishon? If you were here last night, do you remember? So those who didn't come last night will catch up with us. Glory to God. That ancient river, the river Kishon. I love this woman. See the way she was using words. This was a song. The river of Kishon swept them away. That ancient river, the river Kishon. Oh, my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. Then were the horse hoofs broken by the means of the prancings of their mighty ones. Curse ye, Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly, the inhabitants thereof. Can you see angels there? Because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water. Now she has moved on to what transpired between Jael and Sisera. You remember that from last night. He asked water and she gave him what? Milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's armor. And with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. Again, we are back in this very lovely verse. At her feet he bowed. Let's read that together. One, two, go. At her feet he bowed. He fell. He lay down. At her feet he bowed. He fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. Let's go through that one more time. At her feet he bowed. He fell. He lay down. At her feet he bowed. He fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. Can I have an amen to that? Yes. It sounds like an incantation. You know, all these herbalists that do incantations, we have the original. We have the real McCoy. Nothing is as powerful as the word of God. Nothing. We don't need incantations. Just release the word with faith in your heart. The mother. Now look at this. The mother of Sisera. So, Ashibobo Etenia. The mother of Sisera looked out at a window and cried through the lattice, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariot? That's the mother of the terrorist. Her wise ladies answered her, right? She returned answer to herself, have they not spared? Have they not divided the prey, or conjure only, to every man a damsel or two, to Sisera a prey of diverse colors, different babes, and different things that they normally would get from their captives, a prey of diverse colors of needlework, of diverse colors of needlework on both sides. Look at the way she was describing other people's property. The mother of Sisera, because that was what they did. When they went to war, they killed their enemies and they stole what belonged to the enemies. They called that the spoils of war. And when they come home, they divide it. So the guy just had a lot of women in the house. Other people's daughters and wives and aunties. So the mother was expecting, when are they going to share the spoils of war? Of needlework on both sides, meat for the necks of them that take the spoil. So let all thine enemies, this is now Prophetess Deborah concluding. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord. Can you say amen to that? But let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might. And that is us. Can you say amen to that? and the land had rest 40 years. Glory be to God. Four things I want to share with us very quickly. Number one, it's important for us to understand certain spiritual truths. And the number one truth I want to share with us within the time that I have is the concept of divine timing. The concept of divine timing and the ability to discern. The concept of divine timing and the ability to discern. What is God saying now? What is God doing in the earth now? What does God want me to do now? What does God want me to start doing? What does he want me to stop doing? What does he want me to keep doing? What does he want me to do differently? It's vitally important to be sensitive so that we don't miss God. Very important. Very important, because it's easy for anybody to miss God. I pray for everyone here, you will not miss God in the name of Jesus. It's dominion o'clock. That is what God is saying to the Expression House and all our friends who have come to rejoice with us, and those who are watching online or listening online. But it's important at every season of your life to inquire of the Lord. Lord, what are you saying now? What are you doing in the earth now? What are you doing in my life now? In 1 Chronicles 12:32, the Bible speaks about some men, some sons of Issachar, 200 of them, who had an understanding, 1 Chronicles 12:32, who had an understanding of the times and the seasons and what Israel ought to do, what Israel ought to do. People that knew what Israel ought to do. Do you know what you ought to do now? God doesn't want us small. God wants your life great, massive. Your God is a great God. But what does he want you to do to achieve and to attain that greatness? It's important to know what God is doing. The ability to understand divine timing and the ability to discern that this is my time, I must not miss it, this is my season. I'm sleeping too much. This is not the time to be sleeping. This is the time to be praying, because God is about to birth something new in my life. In Luke 19, verses 41 to 44, Jesus came near the city of Jerusalem and wept over the city. Why did he weep? He said, because they don't understand their time of visitation. Jesus came near a whole city, and at the entrance of the city, he wept. He was crying. Say, how come you don't understand that this is your time? This is your hour of visitation. There are people who are supposed to be in this meeting tonight who are not here. And for some of them, this is their time. God has heard their prayer. He has heard their cry. But they need to come and get an instruction to move them to the next level. There are others who are here, but who are probably distracted by their mobile phones. They don't understand that this is the time, this is the season. There is a word in season for you to move you to the next level. The enemy will not stop. He will do whatever he can to distract you. That was why Jesus wept over the city. He said, they don't understand that this is your time of visitation. It was when he came near the city, he beheld the city and wept over it. Go to verse 44. Why did he weep over it? It's in verse 44. He said, and shall lay even up, well, whatever, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not live in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. May you be able to discern your time and your season in the name of Jesus. Nobody can do this for you. This is a very personal thing. If you are born again, you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So he has a unique and personal plan for your life. And so for every season, there is something he wants you to do. There is something he wants you to start doing because you've not started. There is something he wants you to stop doing, which you have been doing and has been cutting you short of his plan for your life. It might be rebellion. Stop it. There is something he wants you to keep doing. You started doing it, but you are getting weary, and he wants you to keep it up, because you are about to reap your harvest. You are on the verge of a new day, but you are discouraged. He wants you to keep doing. There is something you have been doing, but he wants you to do it differently. Because if you keep doing the same thing the same way and expect a different result, it is called madness. What is the Lord saying to me? Romans 8:14, Message translation. It says, God's spirit beckons. There are things to do and there are places to go. God's spirit beckons. There are things to do and there are places to go. Let me tell you something. When you walk with God, there are always things to do. The preachers of hyper grace will tell you that that is reducing everything to human effort. This is not reducing anything. This is taking responsibility for your life. When your parents pay your school fees, will your parents also come to your school to attend lectures on your behalf? Answer me. I need response. When God blesses you with money and you buy foodstuff, will God also come to your kitchen to cook your meal? So there are always things to do. And we need to discern, what does God want me to do? In Acts 2:37, after Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 37, they asked him, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? Because there's something to do. How do I begin to walk in dominion? There is something to do. Oh Lord, what do I do? What do I do? Somebody needs to ask God tonight after this meeting. You go back home when you're alone with God and say, Lord, to move to the next level, what do I do? What do I do? It might be to go to someone and ask for forgiveness. It might be to go to someone and offer them forgiveness, even though they didn't ask for it, because it will release a fresh anointing of God upon your life. What do I do, Lord? It might be to send an email. It might be to register for a course. It might be to start a new course. It might be to start whatever, whatever. It depends on God's unique plan for your life. Acts 1:1, Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, said, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of the things that Jesus both began to do and to teach. There is always something to do. Are you with me, church? As I read through the book of Judges, chapter 4 and verse 14, which we read yesterday, the Bible says, and Deborah said unto Barak, up! Say to your neighbor, say, up! For this is the day. She said to him, this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Is not the Lord gone out before you? Up! This is the day. Stop sleeping. Get up! You have come to the place, the Mount Tabor, the place where you will fight. But today, get up! 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 Imagine if Barak had said, Madam, don't bother me today, I'm too tired. Maybe we'll go tomorrow. Tomorrow would have never come, because that guy Sisera had pitched his own tent against them and he would have turned them to barbecue. He was wicked. He was cruel. He was heartless. He was ready. But the Lord said, now. And guess what? The prophetess said to the man that was going to fight, up. Now, because this is the day. May you not miss your day. Amen. Can you say better, amen? Amen? Some people have become stranded in life because they were at the wrong place at the wrong time. Get up. Go to the office of so-and-so person at the secretariat. The Holy Spirit can tell you that. No, how do I go? I don't have what it takes to go. I wasn't invited, and they argued away their destiny. All it takes is for your steps to be ordered by the Lord, to be at the right place at the right time. Even to make it in life is not that difficult. There is just a piece of information that you have not heard, which the day you hear it and you act on it, your life will turn around. I'm telling you. It's not so difficult. But are we sensitive? For some people, it's just for them to come to this service. Just attend this service. That's all. Because they will hear something beyond what the preacher says. The Holy Ghost will cause your ear to hear something. Isaiah 30, 21. And thine ear. Isaiah 30, 21. And thine ear shall hear a word behind you, which shall say, and your Isaiah 30, 21. And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. This is the way. That's not the way. This is the way. Walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. One of the things God does for us is to give us guidance. It's a blessing to be guided by God. It's a blessing. And the Holy Ghost wants to guide us. He said, your ear shall hear a word behind you. The word you hear will bring dominion. That same Isaiah 30. Go to verse 28. Isaiah 30, go to verse 28. I want to show you a few things there very quickly. And this is probably the most important instruction to give you tonight. I don't know. Glory be to God. Take it to verse 29. Verse 29. Thank you. Verse 29. And you shall have a song as in the night when the holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart. Notice gladness of heart. I'm coming back here later. Gladness of heart. As one that goeth out with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. Next verse, verse 30. And the Lord shall cause his glorious what? Come on, talk to me. His glorious what? Voice to be heard. You remember? In verse 21, don't go back there, but just listen. In verse 21, he said, you will hear, your ears will hear a word. That is the voice of the Lord. Now, in verse 30, he said, and the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard. May you hear the voice of God. And shall show the lightning down of his arm with the indignation of his anger and with the flame of a devouring fire with scattering and tempests and hailstones. Verse 31. For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod. The Assyrian represents whatever opposition that comes against you in life. He said, through the voice of the Lord, that opposition will crumble. Through the voice of the Lord that you will hear, you will walk in dominion over them. Amen. Three people said amen, Lord. Your ears shall hear a voice. Now he's saying, through the voice that you hear, you will walk in dominion. That's all it takes. That's all it takes to hear what God says, and you believe it, and you decree what the Lord has decreed, and you have dominion, because God will honor his word in your mouth like he will honor his word in his own mouth. We need to pay attention. You can't be distracted and hear the voice of the Lord. How powerful is the voice of the Lord? When you hear the voice of the Lord. In fact, Isaiah said in Isaiah 50 and verse 4. Isaiah 50 and verse 4. The Lord God, Isaiah 50 and verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, right? And what has he given me? That I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakened morning by morning. He wakened my ear to hear, as the learned. He wakened my ear to hear. God will cause you to hear instructions that will change your life this season in the name of Jesus. Amen. How powerful is the voice of God? Psalm 29 from verse 3. Psalm 29. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. Verse 4. Quick, please. Really quick. Verse 4. The voice of the Lord is what? The voice of the Lord is weak. Powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of what? Next verse, verse 5. The voice of the Lord breaketh. He's so powerful, he breaks the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. Yes. Verse 6. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syria like a young unicorn. Verse 7. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. That's how powerful it is. If they throw you in the flame of fire and the voice of the Lord comes into that fire, it will divide it such that you can walk and you will not be hurt. It did that for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. put the fire in one side, put the air conditioner in the other side, and cause them to walk inside the air conditioner. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of the fire. You can be in chaos and have joy in chaos, and have peace in chaos, because the voice of the Lord divides. This is my daughter, you can't hurt her. This is my son, get out, fire, move back. The voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord divided the flames. Next verse, please. Verse 8. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. They fought in Kadesh. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The voice of the Lord. Next verse, please. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf. The hind is an animal. When it wants to give birth, it gives birth at the voice of the Lord. If an animal can give birth at the voice of the Lord, you can give birth to ideas at the voice of the Lord. At the voice of the Lord. How come unbelievers are having ideas, insights, and concepts, and they are multi-million, billion, trillionaires? People who don't even know God by one idea. I pray for someone. This is your season to have an idea. A concept and an insight in the name of Jesus. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest. And in his temple does everyone speak of his glory. That's how powerful the voice of the Lord is. But very important also, as you hear the voice, is to move when God moves. Divine timing. Moving as God moves and stopping where he stops. Psalm 37 verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. In the New Testament, one of the primary ways that God leads us is through the inward witness. Romans 8:16 says, likewise the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He will never lead you into defeat. It will never lead you. The Holy Spirit will never lead you into defeat. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of dominion. Trust him. All the exploits in the book of Acts were carried out by the Holy Spirit. So that book actually should have been titled The Act of the Holy Spirit. It said The Act of the Apostles. He was the one that used the apostles. And that's why that book has not ended till today. That's the only book that has not ended. Oh, he stopped at chapter 28. No, we are still in the Acts of the Apostles. Because the Holy Ghost is still at work in the church. Can I have an amen? In Acts chapter 8, he sent Philip to Samaria. And in verse 8, after Philip preached the word of God in Samaria, the Bible said that there was joy in the city. And there was great joy in that city. Great joy. Great joy. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. Because of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, dominion is impossible. Dominion becomes mere wishful thinking. Wishful thinking without the Holy Spirit. In Acts 13:52, the Bible says, and the disciples were filled with great joy and the Holy Ghost. They were filled with great joy and the Holy Ghost. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Joy is under attack in the days in which we live. That's why you see depression everywhere. People are depressed everywhere. They are depressed everywhere. Young people, elderly people, middle-aged, rich people are depressed. Somebody jumped down from some story building in Lagos not too long ago. Someone that owned some big company that probably some of you know, e-commerce, an e-commerce platform. The guy just jumped down. People jump into lagoon from a posh car. They park the posh car and jump into the lagoon. You think that your problem is money. If I have money, meke, depression, never. No, this has nothing to do with money. This is an attack on your joy. Because the moment your joy level is low, you have big problems. The moment joy level goes low, you need to jack it up. You know why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. So when joy is not there, you are weak. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, for with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. Inside the well of salvation is wisdom, is strength, is deliverance, is prosperity, is healing. And for you to enjoy the content of the well, you need joy. Joy is the drawer. We sang a song not too long ago. I want to draw from you again. When you want to draw from the Lord, you have to be joyful. In fact, he gave a command in, I think, Psalm 100 and verse 4. He says, you enter his gates with thanksgiving. You come into his court with praise. So if you don't come with joy, you don't come at all. Did you hear what I said? That's why the enemy attacks your joy. He wants you in a depressed state. When you are in a depressed state, you don't hear the voice of God. You struggle to hear. You struggle to be led by the Spirit. You struggle to discern, but nothing is coming. I shared this with one of our sisters who was having a big problem with her relationship one time. Thank God they are married now. Crying every day. Crying at work. Crying in church. Crying on the stage. Singing. Crying everywhere. Because relationship was topsy-turvy and they didn't even know what to do. She came, Pastor Fred, you have to pray. This was what I shared. Isaiah 30 and verse 29. Isaiah 30, 29. I said you should look at that earlier. That will come back there. Isaiah 30, 29. And you shall have a song. It's a condition. You shall have a song. As in the night when the holy solemnity is kept. And gladness of heart. It is this that prepares your heart to receive from God. It is joy that prepares your heart to receive from God. If you are in depression, that is no gladness of heart. And the enemy knows that when you have gladness of heart, you will hear the voice of the Lord. The Lord will cause his glorious voice, according to the next verse, to be heard. And it is through that voice that you hear that the Assyrian shall be beaten down. So the enemy waits for us at the point of joy. Look at it. Nobody likes you. Then you start crying. Look at it. No patronage. For 2 weeks, you start crying. Look at it. Nobody has called you. They didn't even remember your birthday. Can you imagine? Things are just not working in your life and you buy the lies of the enemy? Last night was the last night you bought the lie of the enemy in the name of Jesus. You need to tell him to shut up. The enemy comes every day. He's never tired. You need to send him away every day. Don't be tired. Look at you now. Look at you. Just look at your life. Do you know some people cry sometimes with that statement? Look at your life. I tell you, and in split seconds, they take a panoramic view of their lives. And everything that the enemy points out is everything that is not working or everything that has not worked. How about the many things that have worked? Is somebody following me tonight? Somebody getting what I'm saying tonight? You look at your life in just one split second. Oh, it's true. Oh, that's true. Oh, 5 years ago. Oh, 12 years ago. Oh, 3 months ago. Oh, even last night. Lord, this is not fair. Honestly, I'm serving you. I'm your servant. Before I started serving you, things were not even like this. Now I'm born again. Look at my life. The enemy told you, look at your life. And you bought what he said. And you are repeating, it's called homologio. Homologio is saying what has been said. And you say, look at my life. Hey, I'm here to tell you tonight, you have a beautiful life. I said, you have a beautiful life. You need to convince yourself that much from the word of God. Because every time the enemy brings up such statements, he's attacking your joy. There is nothing wrong with you. People have called me on the phone, Pastor, it's a big problem. We need to talk. And I'll listen to them. And after they have talked, I said, you don't have a problem. Pastor, you don't have, with all of this, you don't have a problem. It's how you view the relation, you view the situation. It's the way you're looking at it. And I'm not looking at it. I'm looking at the enormity of my God. I'm not looking at the enormity of what you're telling me. A lady got a call. They called her from England. And they told her, your mom has a few hours. We're not sure she's going to make it through today. And she's in Nigeria. Give your mom a call and give her the last wish. That ruined her day. She cried from work home. She called my phone. I was in the program. I wasn't taking the call. Then got someone to get me. And then I got the message. And then I reached out. No, I wasn't. On my retreat. My retreat, I think, earlier this week on Monday. And then I called. And she said, Pastor, I want to know how to lead my mom to Christ. I said, well, that is very good. We will do that. So I'll write you a confession to lead your mom to Christ. I said, but the doctors don't have your mom's life in their hands. I know someone who holds every life. And his name is Jesus. And we can believe God that your mom is not going to pass. She will wait. You will get to England and you will pray over her. And can we believe that God can even still do a miracle at this time? Do you know that up till today, today is Saturday, isn't it? Since Monday, they told her in the hospital in London, we are not sure she's going to make it through today. I just said, God has the final say. Who is it that speaks and it comes to pass when the Lord God Almighty, the commander of the armies of heaven, has not spoken? How big is your God? We tell God how big our problems are. Can you begin to tell your problems how big your God is? Stare your problem in the face and tell the problem, I'm going to walk through you. I'm going to subdue you. I'm going to overcome you. I'm going to come out alive. I'm going to come out triumphant. I'm going to come out 1,000 times better than I went in. Because the promise in Psalm 91 verse 15, I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and I will honor him. One of my favorite scriptures when I was really in trouble last year. And I'm telling God now, you were with me in that trouble. You delivered me. I'm expecting honor now. That's where I am with God. We were having a blaze like this last year in the heat of the problem. But as we were having a blaze, especially on Sunday, God was walking in the camp of the enemy. Someone that nobody could arrest. People went to his office in London to arrest him. They could not. They called the police on him. He called the police on them. The police came and warned the people that brought police, never come near this business area again. And he had their money in his hands. I will not deliver the service and I will not give you your money. How can you handle such an Assyrian? How do you handle such a devil? Through the voice of the Lord. You better have a song every time. You better have joy. You better choose joy. You have joy. Galatians 5:22. Now the fruit of the Spirit is love. Number two that follows love is joy. Even before peace. Love, joy. As he said love, he has not rested. He said joy. Joy. And you have it every time. You are not happy every time, I know. Happiness is circumstantial. You get a new phone, you're happy. A new car, you're happy. Visa, you're happy. After a while, happiness wanes. It wanes. It reduces. Joy is constant. You have it always. And you can always reach into your spirit and bring it out and walk in joy. Can I have an amen? Amen. This is a raw teaching you need. It's not pampering. This is not pampering. As long as you remain in depression and you are crying and crying and wailing and crying, nothing will move. So in that situation, you now need to get into the word of God and fellowship with the Holy Ghost and find a song in your spirit. For you shall have a song and you shall, Isaiah 30:29, and you shall have a song as in a night when the holy solemnity is kept and gladness of heart is a condition. You must have a song. You must have gladness of heart. Number two. Pay attention to prophecy. Pay attention to prophecy. Anytime a prophetic word comes out from the Holy Spirit, with it comes the power for fulfillment if you believe. 1 Thessalonians 5:19-21. I know we don't emphasize the prophetic much in our church, but it does not diminish the power of the prophetic. The Bible says, quench not the spirit. Next verse. Despise not prophesying. And I'm not saying that somebody who stands in the office of a prophet and then wears a white garment and has long beard, Maori, maskabahaya. Maori, beauty star. My son. No. See, over half, almost three quarter of the word of God is prophetic. Get into this and prophesy over your life. Our confession we do every Sunday is prophetic. They are taken directly from the word of God. In the New Testament, you are the prophet of your life. Decree it. One of our medical students, Temitope Komolafe, who is now a medical doctor, graduated. She said when she was writing her final exam, she shared the testimony here. At some point, the devil was playing pranks on her mind. And she said to herself, she remembered our line of confession, I'm able to focus. I have the mind of Christ. My mind is alert. I have serenity of mind. I am able to focus. My mind is productive. She said, man, those lines helped me. She imagined the best graduating doctor in what's that thing called now? Pediatrics. She got an award for it from this church. A young man joined us some years ago. Best. He was walking down this Mokola Road. Sunday morning, just saw the church, the signpost of the church, and came in. And it was confession time. And in those days, we had in our confession like we have it now. I will never be put to shame. That was what we were singing when he came in. So he joined. He shared this. When he came, God is my eternal witness. And Beth, if you're watching online, I'm not despising you. I thought he was a guy who was doing thrift. You know what they call thrift? Ajo, and don't bajo. Because his shoes would be dirty. He had this cap like, I thought at best, maybe he was an agent. People that help people to rent one room, rent to a room and a parlor. He looked like that. There was nothing comely about him. I didn't know he was a legal practitioner. But his life never looked it at all. He was in debt. He was in trouble. He was in pain. He put money in business. He lost everything. And he was owing. In fact, he could not afford to rent a room. He was courting with someone in Oketunu. Sunday morning, just walking like this. And then he walked in here. And it was confession time. He said after that confession, he said, this is my church. So he came back the following Sunday. He kept coming. How I got to know him was that he was constant at Bible study. At Bible study, you don't have everybody. You have only the serious ones. So I saw him every Thursday. One Thursday, I called him. I said, young man, who are you? What's your name? He told me his name from Akwa Ibom. So what are you doing in Ibadan? He told me his story. As I speak with you tonight, he shared his testimony, Dunamis 2020, when we had the online Dunamis. He's a lecturer in a private university, I think Bowen or so, in the Faculty of Law. And he has another powerful job with another company in Lagos. From zero. Just the power of the prophetic. The power of the... Don't despise prophecies. When we began to shout here, supernatural acceleration. God collapses time in my favor. God collapses time in my favor. We shouted and shouted and we're still shouting it. And I don't know what's happening with the Akwa Ibom people. I think they just believe God. Another lady from Akwa Ibom is on her way to Europe now. She was another lawyer also. They didn't know each other before. I introduced them much later. She was serving in the ushering ministry, believing God for a scholarship called Open Doors. That's the title of the scholarship. Open Doors in Europe. And she would shout, I have supernatural acceleration. God so accelerated it, she couldn't wait to attend the blaze. Yeah, go ahead and give him praise. So when we are doing our confession, we are not wasting time. Let me wrap up. One word from God can turn your life around. One word from God carries enough dominion to bring you out of any mess you find yourself in. How did the children of Israel come out of the mess they found themselves in? By the prophetic word. God used Deborah. Deborah said, Barak, come here. Has not the Lord commanded that you need to go to Mount Tabor, fight the battle, get 10,000 men to go with you? And hey, come back, Barak. This battle is not to your honor. God is going to get the honor. And God will sell Sisera. Sisera, sell Sisera. Sell Sisera. God will sell him into the hand of a woman. Did it happen like that or not? Come on, talk to me, church. Did it happen like that or not? Because there is the power in prophecy. It came. Sisera died as prophesied. He didn't die through the sword of Barak. He didn't die through the arrows of Zebulun or Naphtali. He died in the hands of a woman. Oh my God. I want to encourage you as I wrap up. Prophesy into your day. Please, if you don't take anything out of this meeting tonight, take this one. Learn to profess. I'm not talking about affirmations. I don't have anything wrong with affirmations. But I mean, go into the Word of God. If you make the Word of God your affirmations, correct, 100%. Don't just look for cute words like, I'm fine, I'm beautiful, I'm accepted, I'm okay. I'm not talking about that. If your I'm okay is according to Colossians 1:6, and your I'm beautiful is according to Psalm 1 verse 2, and your I'm accepted in the beloved is according to Psalm 5 and verse 12, beautiful. Because God will not just honor cute sayings, motivational talks. God will honor his word. Are you with me, church? That's why all of those confessions, they have scriptural backings. We took them directly from the Word of God. Maybe we put our own words, but from the Word of God. Number three. Dominion begins upstairs. Dominion begins upstairs. You need a change of mindset for you to walk in dominion. Proverbs 23 verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I wrote here, and I want you to listen to this. You will only walk in dominion to the degree that your mind is renewed to the Word of God. Renew your mind with scriptures. Scriptures that show you who you are in Christ. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, 1-6 tells you who you are in Christ. You are above the devil, above his foes, above all the principalities and powers. The day God raised Jesus from the dead, he raised you with him. And he has seated, S-E-A-T-E-D, seated us with Christ at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. So you should have a superiority mindset to the enemy and to all his works. It's the dominion mindset. I shared with us, I think last Sunday or so, how I said during COVID, I cannot have COVID. It's impossible. John G. Lake did not have bubonic plague. They put the saliva of someone that had it in his hands. By the time they put the microscope, all the microbes had died. He said, because the life of God is flowing in me. They put it on a slide. They saw all the microbes. He scraped it and put it in his hand. Then he put it back on another slide. And they checked. When they passed through his hand, they died. When COVID, any sickness comes near you, it should die. Because you have the life of Christ flowing in you. Are you with me? That's why you lay your hands on the sick and the sickness dies. And they recover. Because you carry the life of God in you. I saw 1 Peter 1:23. That says, I've been redeemed with the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And that gave me a mindset superior to COVID. Did I come in contact with people? Yes. In COVID, I laid hands. They said, don't hug. I laid hands. Jesus said, lay hands. COVID said, don't touch anybody. I said, I would rather obey Jesus. We are still here. Your mindset. Some of us are thinking too small. May you receive an upgrade of your mentality in the name of Jesus. Amen. Number four, which is the last point. Never despise the place of prophetic praise. Prophetic praise. Why did I call it prophetic? Because this comes in advance. Moses sang a song in Exodus 15. Miriam, his sister, joined him. And all the women in Israel, they joined. And they began to dance with timbrel and harp. Verse 20. They were dancing. But this was after the victory over Pharaoh. Our main text, Judges chapter 4. God gave Deborah the prophetess and Barak victory. And then they sang. It was their song we read tonight in Judges chapter 5. The songs of Moses, the songs of Deborah came after the victory. But there was another man in the Bible called Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 20. In his own case, he sang before the victory. That was a prophetic praise. You praise him in advance. You praise him knowing that he has already given you the victory. Can I have an amen? And then you go ahead and enjoy the victory. It's a higher level. Paul and Silas were in prison. They had not yet received freedom. When they prayed and they sang, Acts 16:25, they were yet in chains and fetters. But after their praise, the Bible says they walked free. They didn't even run out of prison. They begged them with freedom. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. You have looked at your life and you think there is no joy. How can I praise? That's a lie. The truth is there is joy and you can praise. Can I have an amen? I close with this. I want to appreciate my workforce for this ablaze. All of you volunteers. One thing I noticed this year, different from other years, is that most of you, through this convention, you didn't know I was noticing, most of you, not all, but most of you, have served God with joy. I saw you carrying camera, arranging cables, singing, playing instruments, running around when there was trouble, and you were doing it with joy. I'm here to announce to you that God has accepted your sacrifice. It is not enough to serve God. Serve Him with joy. See, lack of joy attracts the curse of the law. Deuteronomy 28:47. That's my last scripture for tonight. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 47. Read it, everybody. 1, 2, go. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with what? With joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Read the previous verse. Okay. Read the next verse. Because they serve not. Next verse. Therefore, shalt thou serve thine enemies which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger. Now, to serve the enemy is bad enough. He now added, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And ye shall put a yoke of iron upon, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he has destroyed thee. For not serving God with joyfulness. Don't do God's service with grief. Yeah, they don't appreciate me. I don't have chilo. If not for church, will I know you? It attracts the curse of the law. Your head of ministry tells you, will you keep quiet there? Yes, I'm sorry, sir. And after a while, you go back and apologize, even if you were right. And the next moment we see you serving with joy. Joy attracts God. Joy is attractive to God and to the blessings of God. When my business is low, listen to me. It's my secret. I rejoice. I go back into my store of joy and I release it again. The moment I begin to rejoice, in 1 hour, a phone call comes in and changes everything. I have observed in my life that when I complain, things keep going down. But the moment, for no reason, I just begin to rejoice because the joy of the Lord is my strength, things begin to take shape. Philippians 4:4, rejoice always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord. How often? We are going home in the rain tonight. Rejoice in the Lord. Does it include tonight as it's raining? Does it always include tonight? Rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. Because it is with joy we draw whatever we want to draw from the Lord. Have I spoken to someone tonight? This is how to walk in dominion. It is dominion o'clock. Walk every day the rest of this year with joy. I've still got joy in chaos. Stand on your feet, everybody. I've got peace that makes no sense. I won't be going under. Oh, yes. By my own strength. Oh, yeah. Let me down. Oh,
so why would he fail? He won't fail.
Can I go to the handheld?
I've still got joy.